Yo, what's going on, everybody? It's Sway Max Senior here, back at it. We had a really I had a really good week last week, if you guys tailed me. Hopefully you guys did all right too. Had a couple of good calls on the pod, and the card kind of went crazy like we kind of knew it was going to be. You know, I always tell you guys it only really takes one, especially if you're in like these big contests. Don't be afraid to throw a couple bullets at it, you know. So yeah, it was pretty interesting. One thing that I always like doing too, I don't know if you guys know this, but you can pull the ownership, you know, from like whatever contest you're in. So I usually play about between 20 and 40 in that $1 contest. And, you know, after the contest locks, you can go down to where it says export CSV. You have to click in contest. As far as I know, you got to do it on mobile, or at least like on the mobile kind of site from your phone maybe, but from the computer, yeah, you just click on the contest right where it shows you all of the entries for the contest, like the players names and all that kind of stuff, you know, like where you'll see like your entries and all that good stuff. Right below that, it'll say export CSV. Export it. It'll actually be a zip folder, but if you just double click on it, it'll unzip and open up an Excel or whatever you're using. But yeah, I mean, it tells you right there, you know, from top to bottom, who's the most owned and who's the least owned. So that's been pretty nice to look at, you know, instead of having to kind of monitor my lineups, I really can just look at ownership, and based on how guys are doing, I can kind of gauge how I'm doing without having to sweat my lineups hardcore. So just a nice little tidbit early. First off, so yeah, we have a good card here, UFC Newark. It's going to be on ESPN. It's UFC on ESPN 5. We have the main event is going to be Robbie Lawler versus Colby Covington. They're probably fighting for a title shot, I'd say, at this point. We have a pretty interesting card here, to say the least. I mean, it's, you know, we have I think there's honestly about five fights here that they think are going to go inside the distance. Maybe more that have like just minimal. I've highlighted a few of them. We really only have two heavy, heavy favorites, that we'll talk about later on. And then other than that, I mean, you know, we have a few women fighting on the card. There's a women's fight to start the card off. So that should be interesting. Yeah, just should be overall a good card to watch, a fun one for DK. And as always, let's jump into it. So yeah, so first off, we have the first fight of the night. It's going to be Hannah Goldie versus Miranda Granger. Both of these are pretty much newcomers. It means they're going to be, this is going to be their first fight in the UFC. As far as what I can tell, Granger is pretty much like a sub specialist. Like, she's got to get the sub, I think I've seen in all of her fights, or at least in the last few, like she's had all subs. So, she's definitely live for the sub there. On the flip side, Hannah Goldie, she's coming off of the Contender Series. I think she's going to be better on the feet, and I think she's going to try to keep it standing. I think she will be able to keep it standing. But this is honestly kind of tough to call. Hannah Goldie is the -131 favorite. She's 8,800 on DraftKings, and Granger is +107. She's 7,400 on DraftKings. My play is going to be Goldie here, but with it being the curtain jerker, I can see why they have this as the first fight of the night, and with the second fight of the night carrying so much implications, I'll definitely kind of be looking more towards that one. So as far as this one goes, I don't really like it too much for DraftKings. I'll pretty much be fading it. I wouldn't blame you if you want to maybe have just a little bit of ownership just for hedge and just for game theory type deal. But yeah, I just really don't like it for DraftKings. I know I said Granger's live for the sub, so I mean, shoot, if you want to do it at 7,400, I mean, you know, you can go for it, but personally, I'll probably mostly stay away from this fight. And next up, we have Cole Williams versus Claudio Silva. Silva is the -463 favorite. Cole Williams is the +353 underdog. He's 6,800 on DraftKings. And on the other side, Claudio Silva is 9,400 on DraftKings. I'm pretty sure, pretty sure he's the most expensive fighter we have on the night. So right away, too, this is one of the fights that we have that has inside the distance prop. It's see to finish inside the distance. So with Silva basically being a -400 favorite, and it's -260 to end early. simple, right? But the play is going to be Silva here. I think for DraftKings, we should take some, we should definitely take shots on him. I think this is a showcase fight for him, honestly. I think he's going to get this to the ground and end it early. But I think this is a showcase fight in the sense of like they put him up against the can and they pretty much are trying to just, they just showcase him. Like they just want to show how good he is and they're putting him in there against somebody that he should finish early. So really don't like Cole Williams at all. For hedge, if you want to put him in a couple hedge lineups, I'm all for it. I'll probably do the same, but definitely Claudio Silva's the play here. Not sure how heavy I'll go on him, but I do like him a lot. I wish he was a little bit cheaper, but yeah, I mean, I definitely like him, and he's the play. Next up, we have Mara Romero Borella going up against Lauren Murphy, the punching bag. She's 7,500 and Romero Borella is 8,700 on DraftKings. Borella is -189 favorite. Murphy's +158 dog. Yeah, this is a tough fight too. I'll start off by telling you I don't like this fight for DraftKings. Don't like it for DraftKings. Breakdown is going to be pretty simple. I think Borella is just going to be better on the feet, and I think this is where it stays. I think it stays standing. I heard she's at top team now, so we'll see how that worked. She's looked okay, and Murphy just looked like completely awful. I'm not even sure. I'm seriously not even sure how she got back into the UFC. But she has. She beat Barb Honchek, but like, you know, we don't even really need to talk about that. She lost to Sarge, which she should have. I think she's going to lose here, although I think this is just not really an interesting fight. I will say, though, that Borella can possibly sub her out. Like, it's possible. I could see Borella maybe getting this to the ground and possibly getting a sneak sub here. For that reason, I think it's okay to put some ownership there, but mostly this is a fade on DK for me. This fight period is pretty much a fade for me. Next up, we have Jordan Espinoza going up against Matt Schnell. This is a flyweight bout, 125 pounders. Matt Schnell's +102 dog. Jordan Espinoza is the -125 favorite. Jordan Espinoza's 8,200 and Matt Schnell is 8,000. Typically, like we talk about almost every week, these fights that are priced close like this, it just means straight up, they don't know who's going to win. And if you're playing a few lineups, you know, sometimes it's like just pick one and then both, and, you know, pick one and the next one, pick the other, keep going. And this one, it's interesting because I personally think this fight goes to a decision. I think this is a really, really good fight to watch. So I'm like really excited to watch it. But I just think this goes to a decision. Besides the submission, Matt Schnell hasn't finished anybody since then. And Lewis Smolka is no, like, I mean, he's just nothing special, you know, like, but he did sub him out in the first round and he looked good doing it. He is coming off of 3 victories. He's looked really well after he started off super shaky. But I don't see him being like that highest scoring 8K fighter. And even though he's close to that, like even in a couple fights later, you know, we have a favorite at 8,300 who I think if he wins is going to outscore this guy or either one of these guys. So it's honestly tough to call. This is one of the, fights I'm more interested in just watching and not really having any betting, interests in. But, I think Matt Schnell is going to be my play here. He's also cheaper. You get the discount of $200. So he's my play. Wouldn't be mad at you if you want to go Espinoza. But this fight's really tough to call. And it's for DraftKings purposes. I think Matt Schnell is just going to be the better fighter all the way around. He's got more experience. He's looked a lot better. And I think Espinoza just needs to, he's just had a little bit more growing to do. But honestly, it's so tough to call. So yeah, there we go. Matt Schnell's the play, but could go either way, but for DraftKings, I don't like it. I don't think it's going to score enough. We'll see. Next up, we have Lucy Pudilova versus Antonia Shevchenko. This is a flyweight bout. Shevchenko's coming in at -136 favorite, 8,600 on DraftKings. Pudilova is 7,600 on DraftKings. She's the +113 dog. So we're seeing some pretty close fights here as far as odds are concerned. The interesting thing about this is I think like it kind of goes one of two ways. I think you beat Shevchenko by getting her to the ground. I'll be honest, like even her striking the last time I watched her. I mean, she lost, but she had 64 significant strikes, but she just did not look good. She looks much, much, much better against Kim. But I mean, she lost to Roxanne Modafari, and we just saw what happened to Roxanne. We talked about Roxanne though. I mean, she's been impressive. So it's kind of tough to call there. She's just really sound all the way around. And if you're not on your game somewhere, she can kind of exploit you. And I think she just got on top of Shevchenko, kept taking her down, and that was it. But on the flip side, Prudilova's not going to take her down. She's going to try to keep it standing. So I think this is going to be a 3-round fight. I think Shevchenko pieces her up for 3 rounds. And, again, for DraftKings, man, I don't really like it. Shevchenko's the play here. It's always possible that she can throw a bunch of significant strikes and get a knockdown or two and be in the nuts, but it's tough to say. So, but she's the play at 8,600. It's also tough to kind of pay that price tag so far. But we're just getting started, so we'll see what's up next. But so far, we got a few fights that we can kind of fade right off of the top here, or at least carry some very minimal ownership too. This is going to be another one. All right, next up we have Mickey Gall versus Salim Tori. Gall is the +102 dog. Tori is -125 favorite. He's 8,300 and Gall is 7,900 on the flip side. Mickey Gall is just not good. We all know the CM Punk Jackson story, that whole thing. But I mean, he subbed out George Sullivan, you know what I'm saying? Like, after he lost to Randy Brown, so we got to give him that. He at least made it to the third round with Randy Brown, and we thought he was just going to get starched. The guy's 4-2 in the UFC, you know what I mean? Like, that's just a fact. But he did just get knocked out by Diego Sanchez. So he's coming off of a knockout loss. And then on the flip side, we have Tori, who is coming off of back-to-back losses. And I think the stigma here is that, oh God, like it's Mickey Gall, we can insta-fade. I don't think so here. I think Tori might be possible can material. Like, I think we're going to see if this guy's a fraud or not tomorrow night. So, for that fact though, I do believe that this is a fight that we can possibly target. It's got a -160 inside the distance prop, so Vegas thinks it's going to end early. Not super confident, but they're pretty confident that it's going to end early. With the odds being so close, you know, it's going to make it tough. I think Mickey Gall is going to pull this out. I think he's just the better fighter here. I mean, I think this is just somebody he should beat. I also kind of just saw weigh-ins. Salim was looking a little sus, man. I'm not sure. They had to kind of call him up more towards the stand-in. You can't play too much into that, but I don't know, man. I just think Mickey Gall is going to be the better fighter here. At 7,900, if he gets a finish and he scores over that 100 mark, or he scores highly, he's going to be in the bank lineup. So I think we can carry some ownership over there. And on the flip side, we can put a little bit towards Salim, just maybe as a hedge, but Mickey Gall is my play here. So we'll see what happens. I'm not going to go heavy on him by any means, but I'll have some percentage to him. All right. Next up, we have Darko Stosic going up against Kennedy Nezchuwuku. And this is a light heavyweight fight. So these are 205ers. This is basically a pick 'em, straight up a pick 'em. Kennedy's -102, Darko's -120. We get a discount of $600 on Kennedy though. So Kennedy is 7,800. Dude is mad. He's huge. Like, I mean, he should honestly just be knocking these cats out. I mean, he really shouldn't. At 7,800, if he does go out there and knocks out Darko, he is going to be in the bink lineup. This is -215 inside the distance. So that means Vegas thinks this one's going to end early. And I think, you know, they gave Kennedy Paul Craig, you know, and of course, Paul Craig subbed him out in the third round. I'm like, holy shit. He just looked terrible. Would not throw the hands. He just would not like fight. You know what I mean? Kind of kept jabbing and just, it's like, dude, throw them heavy hands. You're big as shit. Like, throw them hands, but he wouldn't. He maybe has fixed that. He's so young, and he's possibly fixed that. It's hard to tell on these young fighters. You see one version of him this fight, the next fight you see a totally different version. So hopefully he's fixed that. If he has, I think he'll come out here and knock Darko out, to be completely honest with you. Darko's coming off of a loss to Devin Clark, but before that he knocked out Kimble in the first round. I think this is stylistically a good matchup. My pick here is going to be Darko. I'll be honest, there's a little bit of recency bias on Kennedy just because of what I saw from him the last time he fought. But I will tell you this, this is a fight to target on both sides. I have ownership to both of these guys. So it's really hard to choose, but Darko is going to be my play here. But this is a fight to target. Kennedy at 7,800, we get a major discount on him, so I like him a lot. But he just didn't look good, guys. He didn't look good. And if he's a young guy, if he hasn't totally fixed that, he gets popped in the mouth, he might resort back to that. So Darko's my pick here, but we'll see what happens with that. All right, we have next up, Dong Hyung Ma versus Scott Holtzman. Scott Holtzman is -433 favorite. So he's one of the biggest dogs that we have on the night. The second biggest dog we have on the night. He's 9,300. So he's the second most expensive fighter we have on the night. Dong Hyung Ma is, first off, he missed weight. So that's one important thing. He missed weight. I wanted to say he's coming out for short notice, but I don't believe that he is. But he did miss weight. This is going to be a one-sided matchup. Holtzman, I believe, this is another one of those showcase fights. He's going to throw the calf kick. That's going to hurt him. He's going to be aggressive. He's going to come forward. I just don't think Hyung Ma is going to be able to sustain that pressure. I just don't think he's going to be able to handle it. I think at 9,300, we got to take some shots. But again, like we've been seeing these 9K fighters, they just really haven't been doing well. Not all of them, because one of them is going to do very well. And I do like one of them that's on the cheaper spectrum, but I do like Scott Holtzman a lot. Not sure. I think I'll be underweight to the field. But I'm still going to have a lot of ownership to him. I just think I'll be under the field to him. So, if you're making 5 lineups, I would say you probably want to go ahead and throw him in 2 or 3 of them. You probably want to try to get Silva in 1 or 2 of them. And then we'll talk about another one of these guys up here. But it's going to be tough. Don't spread yourself too thin on these guys, though. All right, next up we have Trevin Giles, the Popo, going up against Gerald Mearshart. Gerald Mearshart's +140. Giles is -168 favorite. Giles is 8,500 on DraftKings, and Gerald Mearshart is 7,700 on DraftKings. Straight up, this fight can go one of two ways. Either Gerald Mearshart's going to sub him out, or Trevin Giles is going to style on him on the feet. point blank period. That's just two ways that I see the fight going. It's -195 inside the distance. So Vegas thinks it's going to end early. When Giles wins, he wins early. He scores very well. So with that being said, at 8,500, I definitely am going to have some ownership to him. He'll be one of my higher owned fighters of the night. On the flip side, though, if Mearshart can catch this guy and sub him out, he's going to score well as well. He will be in the nuts lineup at 7,700. So I like Mearshart as well, but really just as a hedge. If I had to pick one in a core of my lineups, it would definitely be Trevin Giles. But I would definitely throw Mearshart in 1, maybe even 2 as a hedge. Because I think whoever wins this fight, honestly, is going to score highly. And we're getting a discount on both, really. Mearshart could be a little cheaper, but we're really getting a good discount on Giles, because I think he could be one of the higher scorers of the night. He's only 8,500. We were just talking about those $8,000 fighters, the $8,200 fighters. Trevin Giles is kind of, even though he's more expensive, you don't really hear that in a pivot. A pivot as far as pricing goes. All right, next up we have Nazareth Hackbrass versus Joaquim Silva. This is a lightweight fight. This is 155ers. This is the co-headliner here. We have Drill, we have Naz, we have Hack Brass coming in at -251. He's the favorite, 9,100 on DraftKings. Silva is +204. He's 7,100 on DraftKings. Straight up, this is going to be a quick one. Hack Brass is the play here. I just think he's going to be better everywhere. I think he's going to want to pressure. I think he's going to come forward. And I just think that the only way that Silva can win this fight, is going to be if somehow he can catch him, right? He can catch him. But I think he's going to have to basically knock this dude out, to win. I think that's what's going to have to happen. I think it's going to be a knockout or win. I don't see this going three rounds. Although I will say that, Vegas does not think this has inside the distance prop, so they don't have one on it. I disagree. I think this one might end early. I think Hack Brass, he has that pressure that if you can't handle, I think he might put you down. But at the same time, I mean, if not, he will just throw Matt, he'll just throw 100 strikes at you, you know, like he'll just throw 100 significant strikes at you. And if you can't handle it, you can't handle it, you know. You know, when he beat Mark Diakasi, he kind of showed people a lot of holes in his game. Then he beat Goody. That was a really good. He threw 124 significant strikes in that fight, had a knockdown, scored 102 DraftKings points at 9,700. And this was in a decision. This went three rounds. The fight before that, he also won, went three rounds. He was 7,300. That was against Diakasi. He scored 86.5 DraftKings points. Now, he did lose to Marcin Hild in 2017, but we can't really kind of, you know, we can't really hold that against him for right now. So, I'm going to scale back a little bit. I do think this might end early. It might end early. Just looking at his history and seeing he has all decisions, it kind of pulls me back a little bit. I definitely could see this going to a decision. But even in a decision, I do think he'll score well. So with that said, I mean, I do like him a lot. I'll have some ownership to him. Probably won't have much of Silva. Then yeah, keep it moving. All right, we have the co-main event. We have Jim Miller versus Clay Guida. This is going to be a very, very fun fight for fans. Like, you got two vets going up against each other. Clay Guida just got into the Hall of Fame with his fight with Diego. Really fun fight here. One thing that I will say about this, though, is I don't know if this is going to be one to target for DraftKings. I think Clay Guida is the better fighter here. He's +128 dog at 7,300. Jim Miller is 8,900. He's -153 favorite. I say Clay Guida is the better fighter. I think he's just skill wise is the better fighter. All around has better skills. I think Jim Miller, though, one thing about him, even though he lost to Charles Oliveira, when he lost to Trinaldo and then he lost to Dan Hooker, he said he was having a lot of problems back in 20, like back then, when he beat Jason Gonzalez, he said, you know, he's back healthy again. You know, like he feels good. I think that might've been true, man. Cause something just didn't look right. He was almost an instant fade for me at one point in time, like back in 2017, going into 2018, dude was an instant fade. And even going back to then, he's only won two fights since then, but they've been recent. He beat Alex White. Then he beat Jason Gonzalez. So it was a good fight. So, I mean, I think I can see definitely why he's the favorite. If he wins, he'll probably sub him out or something like that. I mean, who knows? But I just feel like this is going to be a three round vet. They're just going to be punching each other up the whole time. Like somebody might rack up a bunch of significant strikes, but it's kind of tough to call either way. I think Jim Miller is the pick here, but at 8,900, do we really want to put our faith in Jim Miller to outscore everybody on the card at 8,900, or at least everybody in that top tier, at least two or the three people? I just don't think so. It's tough. So Jim is the play. Not sure how much we'll play him there. But Jim's the play. Clay's live. But again, I think this is going to go three rounds. I think it's going to be tough. All right. In the main event, we have Colby Covington versus Robbie Lawler. You know, Colby's the former interim champ. He's going on that we won't even get into because it gets on my nerves. But he'll have his support there, if that's what you want to call it. Honestly, like, I hope Robbie just knocks this dude out cold. This is going to be a classic wrestler versus striker. Robbie's your striker, Kobe's your wrestler. Kobe's going to try to get him down, rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat. He's going to try and do that shit for 5 rounds, and he can do it. He's got the cardio, he's really good, he's really solid, his wrestling is really good. Probably the best welterweight wrestler right now. Maybe one of the best wrestlers in the UFC right now, period. Robbie Lawler, on the other hand, legend. Been around for a long, long time. Honestly, he was beating the hell out of Ben Askren. Yeah, he maybe looked tired, but he was beating Ben Askren up, and then that BS happened. He lost to Rafael Dos Anjos, which, that's tough. He did beat Donald Cerrone back in 2017, but that went 3 rounds. Robbie really hasn't scored highly in almost 5 years. It's going back to when he beat Jake Ellenberger by KO, by TKO. He scored 94 points. Even since then, in some of his KO victories, he's only scoring 85, 86, 88, DraftKings points. And these are in 5 round fights. He's got a lot of them. 88 points in a win and a knockout, 88 points in a decision, a split decision, 86 points in a split decision. So that tells us that he just doesn't score very well as far as for DraftKings purposes, right? We're not seeing the takedowns. We're not seeing the reversals. We're really just getting significant strikes from Robbie and the occasional takedown. So it comes down to how many significant strikes is he going to land? Well, in this matchup, he's going to have to land a lot. Going up against Colby, I think Colby is, dude straight up had 12 takedowns in a fight. He had 12 takedowns against Brian Barberena. He had 7 takedowns against RDA. Against RDA, and that's tough to do, bro. You know what I'm saying? That's tough. I just think he'll probably win this one. Unfortunately, he is going to be my pick. I think this is definitely an all-in fight, though, because I think whoever wins this fight is going to score well. And like I said, I think Robbie is going to have to throw a lot. I think he's going to have to knock him out, honestly. I think he's going to have to knock him out. And he's going to have to do it before the fifth round. If he does that, we should see a high score from him. But we want to be mindful, that he doesn't really always score that highly. So he just kind of likes to scrap it out, bang it out, and go 5 rounds, take shots, eat shots, give shots back. But this isn't that kind of fight. Colby's not going to stand and bang with him like that. The only way he's going to beat Colby, he's going to have to catch him coming in. He's going to have to stuff the takedowns and make him keep it standing. If that happens, Robbie may be able to tee off on him. So it's going to be a really good fight to watch. Overall, really, really good card. That's going to wrap it up for today. I hope you guys enjoyed the pod. We got a really early start to tomorrow. It starts at 10 a.m. My time starts at noon Eastern. If you guys have any questions, go ahead and hit me up on Twitter. You can send me a message. You can, just tweet at me, whatever's clever. Hopefully you guys enjoy the pod. Yeah, man, let's do it. Let's rock it out. UFC Newark. This is going to be, the whole card's going to be on ESPN. Make sure you guys join me for UFC 241 for the breakdown. I'll have Big Marley himself. He'll be on to probably just break down a couple of the fights with us, but he'll grace us then, and should be fun. Yeah, so let's do it. Peace.